Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-argument episode of SCOTUScast, the Tennessee Valley Authority, Governmental Immunity, and the Federal Tort Claims Act edition. I'm your host, Bridget Flaherty. On January 14, 2019, the Supreme Court heard argument in Thacker v. Tennessee Valley Authority, a case involving a dispute over the discretionary function exception to waivers of federal sovereign immunity. In 2013, Anthony Zosda and Gary and Vanita Thacker were participating in a fishing tournament on the Tennessee River. The Tennessee Valley Authority had a crew near the river trying to raise a downed power line that had partially fallen into the river instead of crossing over it. The crew attempted to lift the conductor out of the water concurrent with Zosda and the Thackers passing through the river at a high rate of speed. The conductor struck both Thacker and Zosda, causing serious injury to Thacker and killing Zosda. The Thackers sued the Tennessee Valley Authority for negligence. The district court dismissed the Thackers' complaint for lack of subject matter jurisdiction. On appeal, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit affirmed that judgment. Although the act creating the Tennessee Valley Authority waives sovereign immunity from tort suits, the court held that the waiver does not apply where the Tennessee Valley Authority was engaged in governmental functions that are discretionary in nature. Applying a test derived from the Federal Tort Claims Act, the court determined that the Tennessee Valley Authority's challenged conduct fell within this discretionary function exception here, and immunity therefore applied. The Supreme Court granted the Thackers' subsequent petition for certiorari to address whether the 11th Circuit erred in using a discretionary function test derived from the Federal Tort Claims Act, rather than the test set forth in Federal Housing Authority v. Burr, when testing the immunity of governmental sue and be sued entities, like the Tennessee Valley Authority, from the plaintiff's claims. And now, to discuss the case, we have Richard Peltsteel, professor at University of Massachusetts School of Law.
Plaintiff Gary Thacker was boating on the Tennessee River in northern Alabama in 2013 in a fishing tournament. At the same time he was out there, the TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority, was raising a downed power line from the water. The line was just above the water when Thacker hit it at about 60 miles per hour. His passenger was killed and Thacker was injured. He sued the TVA in tort law, alleging the TVA was negligent in how it was securing the area and raising the line. He lost in the lower federal courts, not on the merits, but because the courts ruled the TVA was immune. It's that immunity that Thacker is challenging in the U.S. Supreme Court. The court heard oral argument in Thacker v. TVA on January 14. The court did not agree in Thacker to review the application of law to the facts. Instead, the basic problem in the case is figuring out what and how much immunity the TVA is entitled to. In other words, what's the rule? The problem derives from the history of the TVA. It was created in 1933 as part of the New Deal with a mission to control the Tennessee River and help recover from the Depression. And like other New Deal creations, Congress made it something of a government agency, for example, with the power of eminent domain, and something of a commercial actor in the private marketplace like any other business. The TVA Act said broadly that the TVA could, quote, sue and be sued, unquote, like any other business, but the courts limited that language when the TVA acted like a government agent, giving the TVA common law sovereign immunity to exercise discretion in policymaking. That immunity came through in a key Supreme Court case in 1940 called FHA v. Burr. In relevant part, the Burr test gave a government agency immunity when liability in the courts would create a grave interference with governmental functions, essentially a separation of power problems under the Constitution. After World War II, Congress passed the Federal Tort Claims Act, FTCA, in 1946, and the FTCA broadly waived sovereign immunity for government agencies in ordinary tort cases. But the FTCA, on its terms, expressly excluded the TVA. At the same time, the FTCA shielded government agencies from liability for policymaking, and that became known as the discretionary function exception, or discretionary function immunity. The problem in Thacker is the lower courts seem to have applied FTCA discretionary function immunity rather than the Burr test, and that's where the parties disagree over the right approach. Thacker demands a remand to make his case under Burr, while TVA insisted the lower courts properly relied on discretionary function immunity under the FTCA, despite the exclusion of the TVA. In oral argument, the court pulled hard at both counselors, trying to get concessions that would bring them together. But to the justices' frustration, neither side gave much ground. Statutory interpretation was the best friend of Alabama personal injury attorney Taylor Rouse, who argued the case for petitioner Thacker. Rouse started and ended with the TVA Act's simple instruction that the TVA can sue and be sued. His argument that words have meaning resonated especially with the court's newest justices, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. The TVA is entitled to sovereign immunity along some backstop of separation of powers. That much Rouse was willing to concede. But the 1940 Burr case provides the test, he insisted, and the FTCA in 1946 did not change that. Burr only affords immunity in rare circumstances, one of them being the grave interference test. And there was no way to fit what Rouse described as workaday labor, something contractors could do, into the rigors of the grave interference rule. The lower courts completely ignored that test, Rouse complained, and Thacker should have a chance to make his case. Rouse didn't speak for a minute before Justice Sotomayor started the questioning. She and Justices Breyer, Kagan, and Alito all seemed vexed that Rouse would have the courts develop two different bodies of discretionary function immunity, one under Burr and another under the FTCA. There's a well-worked-out body of jurisprudence under the FTCA, Breyer said. Is there really a difference? Yes, Rouse insisted. They're totally separate. Burr is even easier to apply, Rouse argued, because grave interference looks at how much policymaking is involved and doesn't dig into the defendant's conduct the way the FTCA test does. Sotomayor and Breyer seemed skeptical. Breyer describing the Burr analysis as complex and difficult, noting it would have to be applied to more than 100 sue and be sued federal actors. Justice Kagan tried to get Rouse to concede that the Burr test might be similar to the FTCA, just a higher bar. Maybe one is discretionary function light, she proposed. Rouse wouldn't have it. It's a different kind of inquiry, he said, and again refused to be sidetracked by the FTCA. Congress has never said, as a matter of separation of powers, that the discretionary function exception in the FTCA exists in all areas of law, Rouse said, and he repeated, it's never said that. Justice Alito and Chief Justice Roberts suggested the dividing line on immunity might lie between the TVA's governmental and commercial roles, but Rouse refused to be moved off of focus on the policymaking test in Burr. It's absolutely true here that the TVA was operating like a private commercial business, Rouse said, but that only demonstrates the TVA's inability to show that tort liability would mean grave interference with government. Justice Kagan seemed willing to work with the governmental-commercial distinction and advised Rouse that Justice Alito had thrown him a lifeline. But there's no line there, Rouse insisted. Whatever power the agency exerts must be tested by Burr. A governmental-commercial distinction might coincide with the outcome under Burr, but it's also possible that a sue and be sued entity exerts governmental power and liability would not gravely interfere with the functioning of government. Assistant to the Solicitor General and former law clerk of Chief Justice Roberts, Anne O'Connell Adams argued for the respondent TVA. O'Connell Adams essentially agreed with Rouse that the FTCA itself cannot apply to the TVA, but she argued that by excluding the TVA from the FTCA, legislative intent was to maintain common law sovereign immunity as it had existed before. She twice described common law and FTCA discretionary function immunity as coterminous. Burr did not call for a case-by-case approach to grave interference, she argued. Rather, Burr asks only whether tort liability categorically would interfere with government functions. A yes answer kicks the analysis forward into the same discretionary function immunity that was codified under the FTCA. All of the justices who spoke seemed to struggle with O'Connell's position because they did not seem content with the lower court's conclusion on the merits that the TVA action here was discretionary, even though, as O'Connell Adams pointed out, that's not the question the court took on appeal. The justices seemed stuck on the governmental-commercial distinction, and O'Connell Adams had trouble trying to pry them off of it. How could raising a power line be governmental rather than commercial, Justice Sotomayor asked. Discretionary function immunity has never turned on that distinction, O'Connell Adams insisted. Is there no difference, then, between common law and statute, Justice Kagan wanted to know. No difference, O'Connell Adams maintained, not for discretionary function. Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Gorsuch and Alito also seemed discontented. How could separation of powers be implicated in a case like this one, Roberts wondered. Burr is categorical, not case by case, O'Connell Adams maintained. So discretionary function immunity could include ministerial commercial activity, like in this case, Gorsuch asked? Yes, O'Connell Adams answered. So sovereign immunity could protect the TVA even when it acts like a private power company like Pepco, Alito asked? Yes, O'Connell Adams said. Immunity protects discretion. Justice Gorsuch was perplexed. Twice he asked, how can it be that Congress said the TVA can sue and be sued? The TVA is then expressly excluded from statutory discretionary function immunity, and yet here comes the TVA saying Congress intended us to be immune all along. You're asking us to embroider the words quite a bit, aren't you? He asked. When O'Connell Adams uttered legislative history, Gorsuch interrupted, I'm not interested in that, as you know, Miss Adams. I was talking about the words. Justice Breyer retorted, I do look at the legislative history, but doubted that a governmental actor enjoys immunity when it acts like a private company. Justice Kagan likewise pressed O'Connell Adams for an example of a case in which the TVA would not be immune, and Kagan never got an answer she liked. Roberts floated the Burr is a higher bar thesis that Rouse had rejected, but O'Connell Adams wanted none of that either. Without a statutory basis for discretionary function, Justice Kavanaugh asked, we're left with Burr, right? And when O'Connell Adams again insisted Burr cannot be applied case by case, Kagan again balked, accusing the TVA of engrafting onto itself the very immunity the FTCA denied to it. In the end, a majority of the court had serious doubts about the TVA's expansive position on immunity. The justices, moreover, seemed to think that the result in the case, even while not before the court on the merits, must have been driven by an erroneous analysis. So Thacker's case for remand looks strong. What remains to be seen is what kind of guidance the court might offer for sue and be sued entities going forward. The advocates refuse to budge from their opposing positions, Burr's grave interference test on one side and broad FTCA-like discretionary function immunity on the other. And neither side wanted anything to do with the court's apparent desire to draw the line at the governmental-commercial divide. The justices seemed discontented with both advocates' offers. Siding with Thacker would mean entangling the courts in a messy, parallel body of discretionary function law. Siding with the TVA would mean undercutting the Burr test and turning statutory textualism on its head. We'll have to wait until spring to see how the court navigates these rapids.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.